Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome in to another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We have a loaded edition here on Mother's Day with a ton of recruiting information to share with you this morning. Now, our main focus will be going over the latest from the transfer portal, high school recruiting, and I might throw in a question or two about the team coverage aspect, but this is going to be a heavy recruiting edition of the Inside Slant. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. I'm going to welcome my man on the men's basketball beat, my buddy Shay Wildebor. Shay, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, man. To all the ladies that listen, happy Mother's Day. It's a beautiful Sunday, and all's quiet right now. Randy, to be honest, it's kind of nice that it's quiet. It's been a hectic, as we all know, couple of months, especially since the basketball season ended. So if I get quiet and relaxing for a couple of days, I'll certainly take it.
No doubt. And let's go ahead and bring in our man, the publisher, the guy on the Kansas football beat, John Kirby. John, good to talk to you. It's been a while, man. How are you?
It has. And I know we've tried to do these podcasts, and every time we want to schedule something, there's always news like that could happen that day.
Yes.
And we don't want to miss it. You hate to do a podcast, okay? And then as you do your podcast and then you release it, 3 hours later, some guy commits that you know could commit, or, you know. So we've been trying to do these podcasts, you know, around so much news. So it's good to get back in the studio. And I know we've all talked about committing to get these things up every 1 to 2 weeks at the longest. So we'll definitely try to focus on that. And piggybacking on what Shay said, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know my wife got up this morning at 6 o'clock and headed to the hospital to work. So,
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. Hey, it's part of the gig, man. When you're she's a neonatal nurse practitioner. So sometimes you got to go in and do the job on Mother's Day. But,
yep.
Well, she's a mom helping moms on Mother's Day, man.
She is. She left 40 bags of mulch for me around here to carry around. So.
That was really nice of her to do that for you.
Yeah.
Nice little Sunday of mulch.
That's there right. You go. Well, you know, it's funny. I heard Shay talk about getting a rest from the transfer portal, you know, and I mean, it's so crazy because I know I've gone through this for a couple years now, especially more during the winter times. And last year, Kansas football did it during the spring. But man, I'm telling you, when the team you cover is hitting the portal, I mean, you're just always on edge. I mean, your phone's always with you. You're in front of a computer. I mean, you can be at your kids' events or your games or be out. And I mean, you are checking that phone because you never know when this stuff's going to go off. You know, that's our job to try to stay on top of it. But man, sometimes it's nice waking up going, okay, I don't think we're going to have a lot of news today, so you can let your guard down sometimes.
Right.
You know, it's been amazing watching both of you guys. And Shay, I'm sorry to cut you off. I want to give you both a little credit. Just watching everything that has happened over, specifically even in the last 4 weeks on the football side and the basketball side, you guys have been so in tune with all of it, with your updates. You know, Shay, you've obviously, I mean, you were close to a lot of this and you were given a lot of insight. Same with you, John. And I know our subscribers and the people on the boards, they really appreciate it. I know I've enjoyed following with you guys and keeping up with both of you via text, you know, texting Shay, man, what's going to happen with this? Checking with John, when are we going to find us an edge rusher? And it's been cool to talk with you guys about it and to see it on the message boards. And I just wanted to take a minute to tell you guys do a fantastic job of keeping up with all of it and giving people that follow these squads the insight that they come to you for and that they appreciate. And you guys have done, it's been awesome. It really has.
I've never experienced anything like that really in my life, I don't think. I mean, I've done this a long time. I've been with John since the beginning. And I've even called John a few times and said, hey, man, like I just get so, like when people come to the slant, I want them to hear the news first. And you and you both, you know this, it's not always going to happen. I mean, there's other people covering Kansas basketball. It's crazy. And I've even called John a few times and said, hey, man, you know, how do I get – not how do I get through this, but, I mean, you know, how do I calm down? How do I – because I'm a competitive guy like everybody. You know, yeah. I don't want to just be first. You know, you got to be right. So it's been – for me, it's been – and that's to me, that's the biggest thing I've learned from John. It's you're not always going to be first, but you have to be right in your reporting. And so it's been a learning experience for me, man. All these guys hitting the portal – guys visiting, guys committing, guys thinking they're gonna get you're gonna get a commitment, and then it goes south. And so it's, man, Randy, it's been it's for me it's been wild. It's kind of like been a whole new look at this job. And I think moving forward, it might be the way it's gonna be with the portal.
You know, Shay, let's just get right into this then. You know, there's so much to talk about specifically on the basketball side. Let's we're already touching on the portal. This is the first season that Self has had to go to the portal to rebuild his roster. And this is a roster rebuild like we have never seen before. And there have been some really big time additions. Talk about the guys that he has added from the portal. What kind of impact are these guys going to have?
Yeah, I said from the very beginning, and Self said this after his end of the season press conference, he talked about, you know, living in the portal, having a guy that you can get, a big man that can get 20 and 12 a game, you know, having a guy on the perimeter that can hit shots and kind of getting an athletic guard. And I from the beginning, I said, you got to get Hunter. You have to. Randy, it is a match made in heaven with Bill and Hunter. I mean, there couldn't have been a better matchup. I mean, this is a guy that's going to come in. He's going to start. He's going to play 30 minutes a game. He's going to average 20 or more points per game, 10 or more rebounds per game. He's going to block a couple shots per game. And there was no better match than Hunter and Bill. I mean, he could have gone to Kentucky. He could have gone to Maryland. He could have gone to Villanova. Hell, he could have gone anywhere and been successful. But he wouldn't have been as successful. And I'm not just saying that because I cover Kansas. I mean, that if you look at his style of play and how good he is down low and how Bill loves to put an emphasis on big men, it was just a perfect match. Then, you know, you turn around, you get a guy, Nicholas Timberlake, who's a 41% three-point shooter. You know, he can hit shots from behind the arc. He can handle the ball. You know, he can score a little bit off the bounce. And Bill Self said, hey, you guys, I need a guy that can come in and hit 40% or more from behind the arc. And he got that in Nicholas. And then, you know, Artario Morris, you've got a really, 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 really athletic combo guard. Excuse me. Who can also hit. He can get score from off the bounce. He can pull up for the mid-range. He can get guys involved. I mean, I just think – I don't know if you could have found three better pieces to start off the portal season than those three. And I said this, and I've said it all along. You had to get Hunter if you're Bill. You had to. No matter what it took, you know, no matter what you had to do, you had to get him, and they got him. And I think with him, you know, I was texting with some guys the other day, and they told me that just based on KU's roster right now, no other additions, that Kansas has a chance to have a very special season. And I think if you take Hunter out of this roster, that's not the case. So you love Nicholas Timberlake, you love Artario Morris, but you had to get Hunter. And now that they got him, man, I think they have a chance to have a really, really, really special season.
I guess my next question, Shay, would be how much has Bill Self been able to improve this roster through the portal? And how different does it look right now from the end of last season? I almost feel like a better question, is there anybody left from last season at this point other than DeJuan Harris?
I mean, you got DeJuan and you got KJ. So, yeah, I mean, I think the fact that you can add Hunter Dickinson, you already improve huge roster standpoint. I mean, when you can bring in a guy that averaged, 19 and 9 or 19 and 10 per game and 1.9 blocks per game, you're automatically better. You know, you replace a Christian with, you know, Nicholas Timberlake. You know, you say goodbye to a Joe Yesufu or a Bobby Pettiford or Kyle Cuff, and you bring in Artario Morris. All those guys are upgrades. Then, you know, you got the Marcus Adams Jr. kid who reclassified, who's now a member of the 2023 class coming in, who had 44 points, who broke Stanley Johnson's record at Balls for Life game. You know, you got a McDonald's All-American point guard, Delmarco Jackson, who's got a chance to be really, 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 really good. And I thought might have a chance to start before some of these other guys were added. You know, you bring in a Jamari McDowell, who over time, I think defensively, can bring a lot to this team. And from a defensive standpoint alone, I mean, when you get a guy like Artario Morris, he was described to me as the guy that can wreak havoc on the perimeter defensively. And Bill loves those guys. You combine him with You combine him with DeJuan. You've got Arterio. And we can talk about this in a minute. But let's just say, for instance, that you get Kevin McCullough back for another year. Oh, yeah. My goodness. That defense on the perimeter, I mean, that's – Bill's going to be salivating. So I think right now – I know you look at the losses. You know, you lose Ernest Udeh recently. You lose Zubi Ejiofor recently. But still, I mean, you would assume that those guys were going to take steps to be better this season, no doubt about it. I mean, I think they're both losses. But I think when you consider what you have coming in Hunter, that you have to be okay with that. I mean, and from it's my understanding that Bill told those guys from the beginning, hey, I'm looking at this kid. I mean, I knew there was they had plenty of time. They knew what was coming. It's also my understanding that Uday's mom wanted him to stay. There were some outside influences around him that wanted otherwise. So those outside influences won. But yeah, I mean, you cannot, under any circumstances, not bring in a guy like Hunter if you have the opportunity.
Friday, every expert in the country was predicting big KU news with Mackenzie Mbaku, who had decommitted from Duke, and everyone expected him to end up in Lawrence. I could tell everyone was caught completely off guard when he chose Indiana. How big of a loss is that? I don't even know if you call it a loss. How big is missing out on Mbaku for this program?
Well, I mean, listen, here's the thing, you guys. I mean, you're right. Everybody I talked to told me Kansas. I don't put in a future cast unless I'm almost certain. I mean, those are things that I just don't like to do. I had three stories written. You know, we had a commitment graphic ready to go. I had everything in the admin. So, yeah, here's the thing. I was looking back, Randy. I mean, let's look at some of the past freshmen. How many have really, let's say in the last 5 years, really made a huge impact under Bill? I mean, you had obviously Grady Dick. Mm-hmm. Was a starter, you know, but you look at that other class, they're all gone. Zubi played limited role. Ernest Udeh played a limited role. MJ Rice, you know, all those guys are gone. You know, Bryce Thompson played a limited role. And I'm trying to think, there was a class that had Quentin Grimes. You know, he didn't, I know he had a big game early on and struggled a little bit and then came back and kind of had some big games. But I mean, generally, freshman guys under Bill, they struggle a little bit. They don't come in and play. So in that sense, I mean, you've got a top 10 guy, you know, a guy that can provide some, you know, some shots for me from behind the arc, a guy that can rebound, you know, a guy that can defend the perimeter and, you know, play a couple different positions. So, yeah, I think from a purely a talent standpoint, a standpoint of, hey, this guy could be really good for us in stretches or, you know, if he stays more than 1 year, he's a guy that could help. But I don't know instantly right away what he was going to bring. You know, I think there's some guys now that are coming back and coming in that have a chance to kind of play a similar role. So, yeah, I mean, it's when you have a guy like that almost locked up and he, you know, the 12th hour, he decides he's going to go elsewhere. You know, you put in all that time and you know, used all those resources. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, they've got two scholarships left, three scholarships total, KU does. I've been told, just from talking to some people, that they may only use two of those three. So I'm wondering if that is a sign that maybe Kevin is thinking about coming back. But here's the thing. You're not going to find anybody that's going to come in and provide, unless you can get like a Grant Nelson or Arthur Kaluma or Julian Phillips. You know, you're going to have to find somebody that's willing to come in and pay their dues and wait a little bit. And I'm just not sure where they're going to find that. You know, once the NBA draft, once the combine in and guys start pulling their names out, you might be able to find some guys that hit the portal that are going to decide to play college elsewhere. But I think he was a guy that would, you know, come in, play a role, but I'm not exactly sure what that role would have been, especially early on as a freshman, because guys typically under self, unless you're Grady Dick or an Andrew Wiggins or as Josh Jackson, you know, guys typically struggle to get on the court.
You're exactly right. I mean, there are so few guys, and you can really, you know, you might have a handful that have had that kind of impact as first year players. It's hard to figure out, you know, who could come in and make that kind of an impact. You've talked about that. You've kind of talked about where we go from here. Shay, in a quick answer, what's the next thing with this program when it comes to the portal? Any predictions?
They've got three scholarships left. You know, they may only use two. You know, they've got to get to move on. I mean, you know, I mentioned Arthur Kaluma from Creighton, Grant Nelson, Julian Phillips. You know, I think they're going to have to be guys You know, I don't see any high school guys, so I think, you know, the portal's closed. You know, some guys hit the portal last week. So my guess is that, Bill and his staff have already started, you know, their due diligence. Until guys pull out of the NBA draft, I don't know that there's a lot they can do. I mean, you know,
okay,
guys are going to want
to – Yes. I'm putting you on the spot. Give me a name. Who's next?
Oh, God. I can't give you one. I mean, I can't. I don't – because I let me say this. I'll say it wouldn't surprise me and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I can see a scenario where Kevin McCullough comes back for another year and they nab a couple guys that we haven't yet heard of yet. I think Grant Nelson wants to go pro. I think Arthur Kaluma wants to go pro. So aside from that, I mean, Mac Etienne from UCLA just hit the portal. Another big man from Washington State just hit the portal. And that's a kid that is long and extremely rail thin. He's going to need time to get stronger. So again, you're going to have to find guys that are going to, you know, willing to come in and play 8-10 minutes a game, you know their role and be willing to work for the future. So, you know, if Kevin McCullough decides to come back, you know, I can see them nabbing a few guys that we haven't heard of yet.
That's our man, Shea Wildebor, on the basketball beat. Shea, so much information. Appreciate you going through it all this morning. Look forward to getting more into what this team is going to look like on our next edition of the podcast.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
Have a good one, Shea. That's Shea Wildebor on the men's basketball beat. Now we're going to shift gears, bring in my man John Kirby, and we are going to talk Kansas football. Kirby, the portal has been much easier for you. I put that in quotes. I'm not sure necessarily easier is the right word, but that's what we're going to go with for you this spring to compare what Shea has been tracking. I know his has been maybe a little more high stress, high end, but there's been so many names that have come through for the football program, but there are just a couple spots being open. Give us kind of the latest on where things stand and what you've seen.
Yeah. You know, Randy, the big thing is with football is they went into this knowing kind of what they wanted, right? They wanted a defensive end. They wanted a guy who can rush the quarterback, maybe another defensive end who could give them a little bit of both, a little bit of strong side, a little bit of weak side. So, and then at one time I thought they were targeting a couple possible guys who could play interior, but really the focus has been defensive line and defensive end. And then here over the last couple weeks, I think that really shifted to defensive end only. So it makes it easy, but it makes it difficult what you're looking for. And let me explain why I say that. Defensive end is the one position everybody's looking for. Okay, so it doesn't make it easy when you're going, we are going after a D end, okay, and so is everybody else. So I've posted this on the board a few times. You know, it's a seller's market. And just for an example, there was and I can't remember the kid's name now, but he was from Louisiana Monroe. He came from Independence Community College. He goes to Louisiana Monroe. He has one sack. Okay. KU reaches out to him. I know they're doing their due diligence. They're close to offering. By the time they started looking into him, doing their research, this kid with one sack from Louisiana Monroe had like six SEC offers within the next 24 hours. So,
wow.
I mean, and I've talked to a couple Power Five coaches at other schools, and they're like, yeah, we're going to offer the kid. We don't know. We don't think he's a starter for us, but he's the best available at the strong side DN position. So just my example is, I mean, lower level guys. I don't want to say lower level guys. Guys who maybe in the December portal wouldn't be picking up these offers are getting them. So it's been tough sledding looking for defensive ends, and it's a tough position. But I think they're focusing in on a couple. So it's been a weird spring on the defensive ends.
I know you've said several times there are only two spots open. You've mentioned it a number of times on the boards. People throw out, hey, what about this guy? What about this guy? You always say they have two spots available. That said, who are the key guys that are out there right now? And how do you see things playing out with those last two roster spots?
Yeah, Randy, I want to answer your question first there a little bit before I get into that, because I know there have been some wide receivers that have come into the portal and people are like, oh my gosh, you know, that there's past Kansas ties with this guy. Will they go after him, or a defensive back? And the answer was, from me, was always no. They have their roster set. They know what they're looking for. And if you guys, if everybody's followed Lance Leipold and this program, they are structured, they're organized, they know what they want, their roster is set, and they have a certain position. So they weren't going to vary from getting away from that group that they're looking for. Right now, it's really down to two guys, and that's Kyrie Manns and Dylan Brooks. They're both defensive ends. I think they're a little bit different. Manns is from Maine. He's more of a true speed edge guy, third down, second and long. He can come in and get after the quarterback. He's still going to visit Colorado from everything he's telling me, okay? Dylan Brooks is leaving Auburn. He was a highly recruited guy going in, didn't get as many snaps at Auburn and plays as I think he wanted. He's got 3 years left, and I think he's going to grow into one of those guys who can be like 255, 265. So sometimes those DNs you see in a 3-4 front on some of those SEC defenses. Now, the question's going to come down to be, what do you do? Do you take one? Do you take two? Do you take them both if you can get them? And I think there's some things that come into play here that a lot of people don't understand. Like, I mean, KU's got a lot of defensive ends, okay? The problem is they don't know what they have in a lot of them. You know, Joyner was hurt this spring. Booker came in. Booker was a 3-year guy from Minnesota, and I think he's more of a developmental guy. You look at Terry, who came in from the high school ranks. And, you know, from everything I hear, his body is really developing that he could outgrow the DN position here fairly soon. There's just so many question marks on the defensive end. So I feel good about Manns and Brooks both, okay? I heard late last night, I heard Brooks' visit went really well, okay? And he may be done taking visits. The big thing with Brooks, I think the hardest thing for him is to get on the phone if he's going to pick KU and call his old position coach, because his old position coach coached him at Auburn and he's now the defensive coordinator at Florida Atlantic. And that's the other school that he visited. So I think it feels good. I feel good. Now the question will be, if they can get both guys, do they take them both? Or do they say, we're going to take one DN and do something else with the scholarship, award it to another guy who's been in the program? Or, you know, is there somebody that was going to gray shirt that you give it to? So I think that's how it's going to be playing out here. But I do feel good about both guys. You worry a little bit about Manns going to Colorado and getting out there and kind of getting in that environment like a lot of these recruits do, and that he listens to Dion. But I feel good. I mean, general manager Rob Iannello has known him and his high school coach. He's known his high school coach for 20-some years. They recruited Manns when they were at Buffalo. And I just think they've made fast progress with Dylan Brooks. So that's where they sit with the two open spots right now.
You know, the other day on the message board, you posted some things and kind of hinted that there are stuff there. There's a couple situations that are about to heat up. Take us through the timeline of recruiting through spring ball after the camp season, and what we're about to get into with official visits and high school kids.
Yeah, Randy. So, you know, first I want to say in the springtime that it was impressive. The unofficial visitors that they had in, you can tell that the program, all the headlines they had last year, being on game day, that successful start, getting to a bowl game, you know, being in one of the most watched bowl games of the bowl season, it has helped this program a lot because they are getting on kids they would not have gotten on the year before. They had a real good group of kids come through this spring. They practice mainly on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Okay, so Saturdays was kind of an open deal where, you know, kids could come in and visit. And there were some Saturdays they had some good groups of visitors. So after the spring was over, the coaches went on the road to recruit. And I believe this coming week will be the last week they are out. And then after that, it's going to start getting crazy. So you got the players, they're finishing up finals. So many of those players will go home here in probably the next week, and they'll just get out of here, go recharge their batteries, and then they'll report in early June and get ready for the Matt Gildersleeve summer workouts, which I'm certain are going to be very challenging. And then the craziness starts. May 31st is the first camp, okay? And then they're going to have a couple more in June in Lawrence. Then coaches are going to be on the road. They're going to hit satellite camps. Then they're going to get back for official visits. June is now an exhausting month. June, Randy, is like December has always been. And I'll tell you, you know, I've heard coaches say that between the portal and the way June now is so crazy. I've heard more than ever. Like, guys are looking to get to the NFL. Guys, I mean, there is no break for these guys. People go, oh, they make all this money. Hey, let me tell you something. They get no time off. June used to be, I remember covering Mangino's. There'd be a camp in the first week of June, and there'd be a camp 2 weeks later, and they were gone, right? I mean, they were gone. They started their summer vacation. They got a chance to get out of the office. You know, they always had people in and out of the office, but you could just take your time away. Man, it is not like that anymore. June is absolutely going to be crazy between them hosting camps, on the road, hitting all the satellite camps. And then after the first week of June, Randy, I think there's going to be official visitors coming in every single week. So June is going to be nuts.
It's so crazy now, because usually the summer is more focused on high school recruiting. You know, you talked about the visits and everything, but the camps and the fact that the situation with the portal guys continues to evolve. Give me your take on how this staff has done with juggling all that, and who are some of the prospects that you are tracking for the summer?
Yeah, you know, Randy, the summer is going to be really on the high school end, I believe. So unless something comes open late and they have a scholarship left, or they stumble on some, you know, JUCO guy that's come out of nowhere. But I think the high school guys are going to be the priority for the summer. Locally, a couple guys that I'm tracking the most are Caden Massey and Michael Boganowski. Massey just announced he will visit KU. And I expect Boganowski to set one with KU.
Okay.
But Boganowski is going to be highly recruited, and so is Massey. Listen, they're both going to be challenges to get, but, you know, KU's in the picture. And when you look on the Kansas City side of things, it looks like that door's kind of closed with quite a few of the 2024 guys. So, you know, there could still be a couple things developed, but those are the main two guys I'm kind of looking at locally. Outside the area, probably the school that got my attention the most is Desert Edge High School in Arizona. Jordan Peterson has gone down there. 1 year ago today, Jordan Peterson went to Arizona to start recruiting and start developing relationships there. He has done an amazing job in a tough area to recruit that's really Pac-12 country. So
no doubt.
He's gone down there to a very talented high school. He's gotten a commitment from Andre Gibson, all right? They're also on Deshaun Warner and Jonathan Kamara. Both of those guys just picked up offers from Texas here about 10 days ago. They're going to take official visits. And I'm just telling you, I think KU could be in the slight lead for both of those guys. I don't think it's out of the question that the Jayhawks could land three guys from Desert Edge High School. And let me tell you, there is talent there, and there's more talent coming up. So keep an eye on that. That's going to be an interesting thing. And I feel really good about what they've done. There's also been some other staff members who've gone down there to the high school to evaluate other guys. So some other legit visitors coming in, I expect in June. Again, Michigan, we all know Detroit and the state of Michigan's become a big area for KU. Chris Simpson, all his connections there. Isaiah Marshall, who's committed there, will be in. Jalen Todd, he's a four-star corner. He will visit. Nick Marsh, a four-star wide receiver. He's one of the best receivers in the country. He'll visit. Montel Johnson, who's from West Bloomfield High. That's where Cornell Wheeler, KU's current linebacker, went to high school. He's going to visit. So, I mean, again, you're talking about some legit guys coming on campus in June. Couple safeties I'm looking at. David Kabongo from Texas. Damani Maxson from Texas. Another defensive back from Texas is going to visit. Rodney Bimage. I mean, Bimage has offers from all kinds of people. He's been forecasted to go to A&M by several people. So, I mean, another guy. Jim Panagos is down in Florida. Four-star DN Xavier Porter. You know, he's going to go to Penn State, and then he's going to visit KU. Think about that. I mean, when's the last time you said a guy is going to go out on official visits? He's going to go to Penn State, and then his next trip will be KU. So
that's surreal. That just doesn't even sound like an actual thing. That's crazy.
Well, again, this is what I was trying to say earlier in the podcast when I said, I saw the visitors in spring, the quality of the visitors kind of move up. Now you look at the guys they're bringing in for visits. Now, obviously, they still got to get them. I mean, you still got to get the guys. So, but the trends are moving up with the type of player that they're getting on. And look at where they're at right now. I mean, they've got four guys committed. KU didn't get their first commitment until June of last year for the 2023 class. They've already got four. I think I've said this last year. I said the magic number was 15 high school guys and then live in the portal. Right now, I'm trending to think that's going to be very similar to last year. 15 high school guys live in the portal. Randy, by the time June's done, they could be sitting on 15 commitments. I really think that's what they're hoping to do, to where when they're done with June, they're going, hey, our high school recruiting by the recruiting board in the office is done. So that's going to be very, very interesting to watch. And a lot of these guys who are coming in to visit have multiple Power 5 offers. So it's a pretty star-studded list compared to what we've seen of Kansas recruiting over the last decade.
John, let's close with this one. You know, the season is slowly, painfully creeping towards us. I feel like it feels like football is still so far away, even with everything that's going on. We are almost 3 months away, which is the closest we've been, but it still ain't close enough. How are you feeling heading into the 2023 season about this program, about this squad, and the overall view of Kansas football under Lance Leipold?
Yeah, Randy, I said somebody on the board asked about retention and how they were able to keep so many guys and you know, KU didn't have a lot of guys in the portal. And I said, you know, the biggest thing is the culture that Lance Leipold has built at KU. And I said, you know, when you build the culture of what he has done at Kansas, it's easier to keep kids because they want to be in the program. They don't think the grass is greener on the other side now because they realize they're in a good program. It's run right. It's structurally really good. There's organization. There's development. I mean, everything about the program is right. So I feel really good about where it's at, and I feel really good about 2023. I love the schedule. All right. Illinois is obviously the key game for the non-con. They've got to replace some key guys on offense. They got to replace some good defensive guys who went in the draft. They've got to replace their defensive coordinator. And remember this, Lance Leipold hired Sean Snyder, who was at Illinois last year. So
yes,
he can give some pretty good scouting reports on the guys that he knows. You know, you're picking up BYU, you're picking up Central Florida, Cincinnati. They won't play Houston this year. I think a lot of that's because they played them last year and they did the schedule so they wouldn't play them back-to-back years. But I think this team's going to be fun to watch. I think they're going to score a lot of points. The whole offense is back. They got to find a way to, you know, get Bostic's position replaced. But outside of that, you've got Kotelnicki, you've got creativity, you've got Jalen Daniels, you've got a lot of talented guys coming back on offense. And I don't know, maybe talented isn't the right word, but it's a bunch of guys who fit into the system and know what they're going to do. I'm looking forward to seeing what Kotelnicki adds to the offense, okay? Because last year, he threw the old quarterback option in on everybody when nobody was looking, and he came out and unveiled that in the first 5 weeks of the season. So now you've got everybody back, which now gives him the ability to keep enhancing the playbook, because when you have everybody back who knows your system, now you can add. Obviously, the million-dollar question is, you know, what can they do on defense? What improvements can be? I think there can be enough improvements. There were so many games, Randy, that the defense played well in stretches. They just needed that one or two stops. And that makes the biggest difference in some of those games where they were one-score games. And if the defense can just show slight improvement, it could make the biggest difference. So I have a great feel heading into 2023 about the, you know, about getting back to another bowl game and just where the program's headed.
That's the final word from a man, John Kirby, and that will do it for this Mother's Day edition of the Inside Slant from JayhawkSlant.com. I want to take a minute to thanks. It's been a special greeting, and thank you to all the moms out there that listen to us. If you're getting a chance to spend some time with your mom today or the mothers in your life, be sure give them some love. Tell them that you appreciate them. I got a chance to hang out with my mom a little bit yesterday, spend some time with my wife today. And, you know, it's just a great time to be sure and do that. So don't forget them. Give them the respect they deserve. And, hey, if your mom is a Kansas football or a Kansas basketball fan, there is no better time than in the midst of the insanity in the portal on both sides to get them a gift subscription to JayhawkSlant.com. Get all the insight from our man Shay on the men's basketball beat, from John Kirby talking Kansas football. Let them interact and engage with the fans on the message board and get all the best content available anywhere on the best fan site on the internet for the Kansas Jayhawks. For our guys, John and Shay, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.